Hi, welcome to the Writer's Source Podcast, hosted by Ufoma and Faith. The Writer's Source Podcast is a platform for writers and lovers of the writing industry in Nigeria and Africa as a whole. Do sit back and enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Writer's Source Podcast. So on today's episode, we have Uchioma Onwuturebi. She is a Nigerian writer and the recipient of the 2022 Wasnod Fiction Prize and has received residencies from Yado at UMI and the Anderson Center. Her works have appeared in Catapult, Bellevue Literary Review, Passages North, Pariah Schnua. I'm so sure I'm just murdering all these names. Bakwa Magazine and elsewhere. She's currently an MFA student at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Welcome, Uchioma. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Don't feel bad about murdering those names. That's how they also butcher our own names too. So okay. English is not our mother tongue. So don't feel bad at all.
Ah, I love this energy. Thank you.
Yeah.
So just diving right in, I just want to ask you, what are your earliest memories of writing and of reading?
I'll start with the ones that I was told then before I had the memory. I think my mom used to say that whenever I saw a piece of paper when I was small, I'll just keep on writing. And like I wrote with a lot of seriousness as a baby. And it's mostly jagra, not like anything legible. But she said she remembers it very well, that I just had like an interest in using pen and paper. But I think when I actively started thinking of making stories was also secondary school. Boarding school was also very instrumental because we wrote a lot of letters to ourselves. Maybe you're fighting with your friend, you just write this long missile to the person. And my father of blessed memory also had like this very fond habit of writing me letters when I was in boarding school, and then I'll reply. And yeah, so, but when I started thinking of writing seriously was when, after the first jam I wrote, I passed though. They now said I have to take tests once in, so I did not get admission that year. So within that gap year of waiting to write the second jam, I started writing very actively. Just to, you know, take my mind off the fact that my friends were already in university and I was at home waiting to write jam one more time. So yeah, those were my earliest memories of writing.
That sounds really really deep. Do you think that your parents knew then that it's as if this one is going to be a writer?
Not at all. They did. They wanted me to be a doctor. And my elder sister was in arts class, so she was going to be a lawyer. She's currently a magistrate. And me, I was the science student. So they were just using STAR to tell me, you know, it's medicine you're going to study. So all their hopes were in the fact that I was going to study medicine. Writing was never something they considered a career option for me. And I actually studied microbiology in my undergrad, so they were still hoping that somehow I'll find my way back to medicine. So writing was just never in the books for them, for me. Yeah.
What about now?
They've given up now. Anyone that is hoping that I'll become a doctor, Holy Ghost fire. No. They've given up. No. I can't even think about it. Like when I meet my friends here in school, fellow Nigerians who are in STEM, like, you know, studying medical physics and whatnot, I don't look at them with envy. I'm just like, oh, thank God I found my path out of this. I'm so glad that I did not pursue that life. So now they've come to terms with the fact that I'm a writer. So, yeah.
Okay. So now that you are a writer, you've said that you're a writer, what inspires your writing? What inspires you as a writer?
I don't know. Everyday life inspires me. But mostly, I think the success of other writers. For now, I think the success of other writers kind of motivates me. Okay, I used to work in Zenith Bank in Nigeria. I've lived a long life. I used to be a banker at Zenith Bank and then Soka. So I was in Zenith Bank when, I don't know if you remember when Irene Ifeakandu was shortlisted for the Kane Prize.
Yes.
I was also writing then. I used to have a column with One Magazine then, but I think I shared the room with someone that was in UN in Arinze's department, and she came home one day, was like, there's this guy in my department that was just shortlisted for the Kane Prize. And that was just when I realized that, okay, it's time to take this writing very seriously. And so I'm mostly motivated by the success of other writers. When I see what they have accomplished, I'm like, I can do this if I put my mind to it. So I'm mostly motivated by the success of other writers. When I see, oh, Ayobami is longlisted for the Booker Prize, I'm more gingered to, start working, complete your novel. Or when I hear, oh, someone has won this big prize, at the moment, I'm more motivated by the success of other writers, especially Nigerian writers. Yeah, so that's my motivation or my inspiration. So yeah, that's my motivation. Apart from that, too, just when you see there's something you'd read, I always, almost like every month, I go back to read Elohosa or Sunday's Good Boy that was published in the Paris Review, and I'm always motivated by very good writing or audacious writing. When I read a book and I'm like, is he a human being or an angel that wrote this word? So watching other people create beautifully motivates me to do the same. Yeah.
I totally understand that. I mean, I remember the first time I came across your work. I think I was stalking your, not stalking, I call it research. Not, I don't stalk,
Call
I
it
research.
stalking. Make me feel, hype me, stalk me. It's not a bad thing.
Okay. So I was stalking you on, I think it was Man I First Read.
Okay.
Then I went to Medium and I read almost all your posts on Medium because I stayed up all night just reading, because I wanted to know, you know, when you read some people's posts on Medium, you can tell where they are at like certain points in their life. You can
Yeah.
just basically see the build up into like who they become and just everything. I was so inspired, especially that man is so, oh my God, it's such.
Let me tell you how proud I am of my
Okay.
certification.
Okay.
I think I tweeted this one time that I have an audio recording of that story. So anytime I just want to, I don't, do you know this flavor song, this Emperor the Conqueror, the Lion is here? Like when
Yes,
you
yes.
want
Seriously.
when I want to charge myself, I listen to that story. I'm like, I was really in my bag when I created that story. So that's how I'm proud of it.
It was really good. Okay, so you spoke about writing a lot, especially the period when you were waiting after JAMB. So, and like I said, one of the spaces in which I discovered you was Medium. And can you tell us what tools you used, while writing, how you used Medium? Because I know that a lot of new writers now, basically Medium is our go-to. The first thing we think about is Medium, how to build followers on Medium, how write, just putting our thoughts. And even like popular writers now, I can trace some of their backgrounds to like Medium. So please tell us how it felt like for you, just writing, using Medium, using blogs at that time, and how you think that that impacted your writing.
I think I started off with blogs first. I still have my, I just hope no one discovers it. I still have my blog post somewhere. And I think I started in 2013. That was the first time I created a blog post. And what that does for you, it gives you this autonomy to just create and build your own audience without necessarily waiting for magazines to publish you first. And I'm glad Medium is like also taking over the WordPresses and is it Blogspots now? So what it did for me back then was just to build my own momentum without necessarily having an editor. It's just me. And then I used to blog on my phone because I did not have a computer then. And what it did for me was just to build that momentum, to just create without necessarily waiting for someone to give you an acceptance or not. So I did that for a long period of time before I started, sending out my work to Brito Paper, other African magazine like Kalahari Review, and then instead more international magazines like, Passages Notes. So I think it's that kind of momentum is very necessary for a young writer, because when your writing is still in its baby stages, you would get a lot of rejections, because most magazines are actually looking for voices that are more developed. Well, places like Medium helps you grow at your own pace and find your own audience by yourself, so that when you start making it big, when you cross over to the bigger magazines, you have you're not just like someone who came out from nowhere. You have like your that little group of supporters that you have built. So yeah, I absolutely encourage it. I rarely go back to read what's in my Medium or what's in that other blog post, but I'm grateful for those years of, creating without anybody necessarily noticing me then. Yeah, so I highly recommend it to younger writers, especially if you're getting a lot of rejection from these more established places. And it also gives you like a healthy portfolio. You have a lot of things that you've written before you cross over to the mainstream magazines. You have like you've built your momentum, you've built your portfolio with those other, with Medium or WordPress or whatnot. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
Thank God you mentioned rejection now, because that was leading up to my next question. So I know that you are the champion, you are the conqueror. But have you ever had rejection emails? And if you have,
Is that
how did you deal with it?
question? Wow. Where do I even start? I'm trying to pull up my summit table. My summit table has more rejections than it has us. I think I only have in summit table, I think I only have like six acceptances, and I've made like over 60 submissions. So
Wow.
wait, let me see. I think the rejection is plenty. Oh, Jesus. And let me tell you of the latest rejection I had was, I think, last month from the story I wrote. Yeah, the rejection comes, it's part of the craft. You get plenty of rejections. But one thing that I like about myself, if I'm allowed to say that, is just having a lot of audacity. And that's something that I also learned from Elohosa's work. Elohosa is very audacious. Having a lot of audacity to say that if you're rejected, maybe it's because your work is not the right fit for that magazine. That's one. Two, the work is not good. You just have to tell yourself the truth sometimes, that the work is not good enough, that you need to go back to the drawing board. Yeah, so I think those are the two reasons rejections happen. It's not the right fit, and it's not good enough. Of course, I know I'm a good writer, but there are also times that I have submitted something prematurely, and allowing it to kind of marinate some more, give it some time for it to become better, would help that work. So submitting prematurely is not so good for you as a writer, but then you just can never tell when something is ready or not. Maybe your friends can help you, but those are the two reasons rejection have. It's just part of the game. There's this story I submitted. My latest acceptance happened in, I think, September. 2 months ago was when I had my latest, okay, August was when I had my latest acceptance. This particular story was rejected by this same magazine a year ago. And somehow I saw them making a call like, oh, they needed a certain kind of writing. I said, okay, let me send it to them one more time. So after 1 year, the story became better and they accepted it. So rejection is part of the game. You would get a lot of no's, but it's not enough. They will not flog you. They will just say no. They cannot see your face, or they will not They are very cautious in their rejection. Oh, sorry, you're a good writer, but this is not what we're looking for at the moment. So, yeah, it comes with the rejection is part of it.
Honestly, I know this probably sounds weird to say, but hearing you say 60 rejections
It's more, I
motivated
think it's
me.
more than, I think it's more than 60. I'm looking through it now because I started using Submeetable. Let me, I started using Submeetable way back since 2012. So yeah, it's around 60. Oh no, I think it's around 75 now. It's about, I've had like 75. Yeah, we just keep on, and everywhere you see acceptance, you shake your head. If they reject you, keep it moving. It's part of the game. Yeah.
I'm inspired to keep pushing.
Yeah, please keep pushing. Don't stop.
So let's bring it back to our motherland. What do you
Okay.
think about the literary scene in Nigeria and in Africa as a whole? Because I remember there was this time when, Twitter, writing Twitter was ablaze, when there was this argument like, do we think literature is dying? Do we think it is not? And that was when the whole MFA controversy also came in. But I just want to hear your thoughts. What do you think generally about the literary space in Nigeria and in Africa? Because in my opinion, I think we're doing well. I don't know. But like from your point of view.
I think we're doing extremely well. We're doing very, very well. And maybe what seems to be lacking is that sense of there's a word I'm looking for. I used it in that my medium essay. That's it was a more closed community 10 years ago. Because I also remember like I will not say I joined the community, but 10 years ago, back then when Facebook was like the biggest place to have a writing community, right now it's Twitter, I wrote. Back then it was like a more smaller and more contained environment where, when you go to a K festival, you'll just meet all those people that you're chatting with. So it was a smaller community then. So I think what we don't have now, it's not like it's missing. It's just that that community is no longer centered in Nigeria anymore. Many writers who are actively creating are mostly outside the country. So I can see how that can make it look like we are not making much progress. But in my opinion, we are gaining a lot of international ground. It's just I equate it to Afrobeats. There was a time it was just Nigerians enjoying Nigerian music. But right now, like even on the streets of Vegas, you hear somebody's blasting Wizkid and the person doesn't even look Nigerian. So I think we're gaining a lot of international ground now. And I'm nostalgic for, that I used to wish that I was creating this actively in Nigeria. But the problem is Nigeria is not, it's not so conducive to create on this kind of scale. Like you're thinking of dues to pay. There are very few job opportunities that center writers in Nigeria. So yeah, I just wish maybe we had MFA programs in Nigeria. We did not have to travel to America to, find better opportunities. But it is what it is. Even writers from different nationalities are coming for MFA programs. So I don't know why the Nigerian writers should not take advantage of that opportunity. And if you're also thinking about publishing on a large scale, and I don't mean just publishing with a Nigerian publisher alone, but if you're thinking of publishing on a large scale for your book to have multiple translations, for your book to be in Target, in Walmart, for it to be widely read, you should also look towards publishing in the West. And that's one thing the MFA program is helping writers do. Like it's giving you an international ground. Yeah, I'm nostalgic for home. I want Nigeria to work, but at the same time, I also have to think of myself as a writer who wants international success. And if this is the path that is going to lead me to international success, I don't have to begrudge anybody who is following it or be sorry that I'm taking this path. I don't know if that answered your question.
Wow, it's more than that. And so
Yeah.
you basically just had answers to the questions that I was going to have, but I'll still ask it anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
So you know how, you're a writer, that's fine. In Nigeria, there's this mental part, there's this part that everybody takes. It's either you enter for competitions, let's say you blow now, you get into the cane or Commonwealth. You are popular, people know you. Agents can reach out to you. You either blow through competitions or you just carry yourself gently, go for workshops, then get an MFA, then put your works into like writings, or your first book that you publish can blow and you blow with it. There are just so many roads to take like that. Which brings me to the MFAs. So recently, maybe not recently, but this year, there was also a gist on Twitter about, and I really like it when we have conversations, when we have writing conversations on Twitter, because we don't get that so much. It's just banter about other things. But whenever there is, literary banter, I don't even want to know who is right or who is wrong. It's just enjoyable that, there is a spotlight on the writing, the creative scene in Nigeria, and like people can just put their mouth in and then have that conversation going. But they were talking about MFA, and I think basically some people were saying something about how, doing an MFA just takes away from your voice, or you don't sound authentic. I think that's the word. What do you think about, MFAs? I know you mentioned how, it is beneficial, writing wise, but what do you think that it does to a person as a writer from Nigeria or from Africa? Just what other effects do you think it has? Basically, share your thoughts about MFAs in
Okay, whether
general.
so you're asking if it takes away the authenticity of the writer's voice.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
okay. We're not the first people to have this con like what I mean, we Nigerian writers are not like the first people to have this conversation about what the MFA does to the writer. There's this essay that I referenced in that my Medium piece about it was
Yes.
written by Yuno Diaz about what it means to be a person of color in an MFA program. So, and I think Diaz got his MFA almost like 20, 15 years ago. So a lot of people have had that conversation or have started that conversation on our behalf. So when you're entering the MFA program, at least you're entering with that mindset that I'm coming to be a better writer or avail myself with better resources. But at the same time, I should be vigilant about my voice. I should be vigilant that I do not sound like every other writer out there. And it's your duty to not let your authenticity leave you. And I think publishing industry is actually beginning to favor more authentic voices than more generic voices. I don't, the books that are making waves now have a lot of authenticity to them than maybe the books that were published some years ago. I don't know if that's making sense. So authenticity is actually the order of the day. And a good MFA program would actually teach you how to or encourage you to keep that flavor of your voice. If I don't know if flavor is the right word, but yeah. And even it, when you're speaking, if you're submitting in pieces, like if you're submitting in places, like even the Paris Review, I'm quite shocked about the kind of things they published. If you know this guy that is in the Booker Prize shortlist, his name is Jonathan Escoffrey. His prize that won the is this Plimpton Prize in the Paris Review. He won it, and then Elo Hosa won it the next year. If you read his story, it was written in Jamaican patois, almost like somebody's writing in Nigerian pidgin from beginning to end, and you're not lost. Nobody's telling you, there's no glossary. You're reading it and you're steeped into the world of that language. So authenticity is actually the order of the day now as a writer. So good programs are encouraging it. I'm not in all the programs, so I'm not going to speak. I'm at least let me speak from where I am. There are good professors here that I have worked with who do not need me to attach a glossary to my writing afterwards, like, oh, explain what is fufu. Maybe someone in class might mention, oh, I don't understand this, but then it's up to them to, Google it. Or maybe you as a writer did not create a proper context for that originality. I don't know if I'm making sense, but
Yes.
so that argument of MFA is making us less original, I don't quite agree with it, especially for the prose writers. I don't know for poetry, because it's mostly poetry writers that get the heat sometimes, that they are always
Yes.
writing about body and water and whatnot. I don't know about, I can't speak authoritatively on it because I don't write poetry. But when it comes to prose, I don't see how the MFA is making anybody's voice less authentic. I've never seen it. So, yeah. I'm really pro MFA, if you can't tell by now.
Yeah.
I'm really pro. I'm pro MFA because also as a Nigerian, most of us who are writers, we don't usually come from wealthy homes that maybe we were flown out to do our undergrad. Most of us were just maybe people who even attended polytechnics, and the writing is just like a very powerful vehicle of assessing the world. So if you can, I really encourage to, at least, especially now that Nigeria is not like, I have hope for us as a country, but especially as a young person, what opportunities are there for you as a creative if you've considered it in your heart that this is like the best way to get out of poverty? Maybe consider the MFA program, because it helped me get. I wouldn't. I don't come from. I don't want to pretend like I can't. I come from a poor background. No, I come from a very stable upper middle class background. But even in that upper middle classness, or even sorry, not upper middle class. Let me not hype my family. Even in that, it's very middle class. I was like, no, we never reach upper. But even in that middle classness, like, there's food on the table, but then there are many things that are not accessible to you as a middle class person in Nigeria. And right now I have more purchasing power because I left the country. I don't know if I'm making sense. And I would not
Yeah.
want to keep it. And this thing that I'm enjoying now, then I would not speak highly of it. Like, I have more purchasing power. I'm not thinking
Yeah.
twice if I want to buy skincare products. Just because,
Yes.
yeah, but if Nigeria, you're thinking, okay, I will buy niacinamide this month. I will not buy retinol this month. But like, I have better purchasing power just because I left the country. And I'm glad writing was the vehicle that took me out of it. That's place of lack. So, yeah.
I think I totally get everything you said, and I think I agree with you on the on authenticity, because I remember my co-host Ufoma Story, that
Yeah.
won the Awele Trust Prize. I think
Wow.
it was in 2019 or so. It
Yeah.
was written in Pidgin. There was a lot of Pidgin,
Yeah.
and she won, and it was very, comprehensible, and it was nice and it was sweet. Of course,
Yeah.
I'm hyping at it, but the story was really good. Thank you very much. I just want to ask you before we go,
Yeah.
what should we expect from you? I know, even in our conversations, you kind of chipped in things that we should expect and things that, we should look forward to. But what should we expect from you, in the coming years as a writer? Are you working on getting a book published? Will you be coming to Nigeria? Would you be doing a tour in Nigeria when you get your book published? What are your challenges and what are your plans?
Okay. I'm working on a manuscript now, a novel. Hopefully it will be out. I'm thinking tentatively 2025, but maybe 2025, 2026. It still sounds like a long time, but traditional publishing takes a while because they want to make the book to be in the best shape possible. So yeah, the manuscript is complete. I'm doing copy editing now. So yeah, I think that's like the major project that I have. And I'm glad, so I'm about to plug in the MFA one more time, that my professors here looked at the manuscript with me especially one fiction professor that I have here, a very kind man. So he looked at the manuscript and he showed me like, oh, this is what you should do and this is what you should not do. So his feedback was very instrumental to my work. So yeah, I'm working on the manuscript now. Hopefully it will be out soon. So that's all I can say for now. There's a short story coming out before the year runs out. I think it's also, that one might be better than Man when it comes out, but I don't know. So I have, and it's come, I'm not supposed to mention where it's coming out yet.
Okay.
It's a competition and the prize, it hasn't been announced publicly. So yeah, it's coming out and yeah, more writing, of course. But the novel is taking a lot of my time, so I'm not going to, hopefully my prolificity remains in publishing short pieces, but there's a short story coming out before the year runs out, and then there's a novel. So those are the two things I'm working on. So talking of Nigerian thought, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, but it would be good. I would like to come home maybe sometime next year or in 2025. Yeah, so let's just keep our fingers crossed. Put me in your prayers that everything that everything works out.
Amen. And I just want people to know, anybody listening to this, to know that, you know, when you are a celebrity now, but when you blow, you were here.
Awesome.
You yeah. were here, you were on this podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for coming in on this episode. It has been absolutely fun speaking with you about your experiences and about writing in general. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm wishing you guys all the best too.
Thank you. So guys, you can reach Uchioma on Twitter and on Instagram. Don't worry, I will attach a link to our social media handles on the description box, so you can stalk her and read all the stories that I read. You have to read, especially that man. You have to read that story. Thank you very much, Uchioma, for
coming.
Thank you
too. Thank you too.
Thank you for listening to us. Please remember to subscribe and follow us on our social media handles. Details are in the description box.